We'll speak about Sakshi Gopal this evening. I was asked by Manoj if I could explain who is Kamalakanta Vishwas, so we'll speak about Kamalakanta Vishwas. Very nice, Leela, with Mahaprabhu. And one Leela that took place at Gundicha, this visit to Gundicha just recently, just add this item. After the cleansing of the temple, there was nice kirtan in the courtyard. And Advaita, one of Advaita Acharya's sons, was named Gopal. He was asked to dance. He began dancing and then he fell to the ground. So lots of descriptions of someone falling to the ground in ecstasy, so he fell to the ground. And Advaitacharya went to revive him, and he didn't revive. And some time passed, and he showed no symptoms of life. And everyone became very alarmed. And the happy kirtan was over, and everyone thought he was dead. Mahaprabhu came over, placed his hand on his chest, said, "Gopal, get up." And at once he sat up and everyone saw the miracle. But practically speaking, any religion, you could take any one of these pastimes and build a whole religion around. You know, bringing someone back from the dead, or Vasudev Dutt, you know, "Please transfer all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please liberate them all, and if you feel their sinful reactions are too great, transfer their sinful reactions to me." So many miracles. But again, that's the glimpse of Mahaprabhu's mercy. The real mercy is the awakening of love of God. Once Prabhupada was riding in a train here in India, and some people came to him in the train and sat in a compartment with him and asked Swamiji, one of the questions was, "Swamiji, can you perform miracles?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I will show you. Bring my disciples here." And he said, "That is the miracle. Formerly, their lives were simply engaged in abominable activity, and now they're effulgent like sadhus. That is miracle." Similar, Tamal Krishnamurti told me this when he was. Because they didn't want Prabhupada being intruded upon when he was riding trains, Tamal Krishnamurti and Prabhupada alone were sitting in a compartment, in one of the train first class compartment. Tamal was like shotgun, making sure nobody got in. He's, you know, had that. But one time he had to use the bathroom, so as he was going to use the bathroom, when he came back, there were several people crowded in Prabhupada's compartment. And he was, you know, "Get out of here. This is Prabhupada." Prabhupada just was cool it. And "Swamiji, can you give your blessings?" "Yes, I can give my blessings. Bring my sannyas disciples here." And the blessing was, when they came, all having their dandas, "I will make you like them." "Oh, it's time to go now, Swamiji. It's been nice having your darshan, but we, you know, we have to go." What's a miracle to save Gopinath Patanayak from the Changa and have him, you know, just the opposite, but that's not the real miracle. So he was then pleading for the renunciation of his two brothers, Vaninath and Ramananda Roy. So the blessing of renunciation is also material, whether it's this side or that side, if one is not in proper consciousness. But the real blessing is to be situated in Krishna consciousness. May you always be situated in Krishna consciousness. And sometimes it takes ordeal. Sometimes it takes an obstacle or some tribulation, so that, like Gopinath, praying intently, then he saw the foolishness of his position and the virtue of the real gift. So please take away these gifts of material benedictions and give the real gift. So, Shakshi Gopal, on our final day, some I understand are going to be departing us, but on the final day we'll be going to visit Shirakora Gopinath in Ramuna. When Mahaprabhu visited Ramuna, he then traveled to Katak, and at the time that Mahaprabhu was there, the Shakshi Gopal deity was visited, where most of us will be going tomorrow. And Nityananda Prabhu, who was with Mahaprabhu in his journey to Puri, had previously toured all the holy places of India, and he'd also been to see the Shakshi Gopal deity. He heard the Shakshi Gopal deity narration, and he again told the Shakshi Gopal description to Mahaprabhu before they went to see the deity. So we're doing it in the right sequence. Before seeing the Shakshi Gopal deity, they heard this wonderful narration. So doesn't give a time frame, but once upon a time, some time ago, there were two brahmanas from Vidyanagara, apparently somewhere here in Orissa, and they decided to go on pilgrimage to various holy places. They went to Gaya and Varanasi and Prayag, and then to Vrindavan, to Mathura. And while in Mathura, they saw the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and they visited the 12 forests of Vrindavan. They saw Govardhan. And in the same place where is today the Govindaji temple, in that Panchakroshi Vrindavan area, it's up on the hill, the Gopinath, the Gopal deity, was situated. Shakshi Gopal. So they went to take their bath in the various places along the Jamuna River, Keshi Ghat and Kaliya Ghat. And after visiting those places, they came, as was the practice of the pilgrims at the time, they came to the Gopal deity. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, and the pilgrims would then take rest in the temple, like, I don't know, in the dharmshala of the temple, or right on the temple floor. They took rest in the temple, and they very much enjoyed that darshan of the deity and the whole situation of being in Vrindavan. So they stayed for several days, and then the elder Brahmin, there were elder and younger, the elder Brahmin was reflecting that in the course of this whole travel, I've not experienced at all any inconvenience. You've been serving me like a son. More so even than my own son would never do the service that you're doing. You're treating me so kindly, it would be disrespectful to not express my indebtedness to you. And so I would like to offer my daughter to you in charity, or your wife. And the younger Brahmin said, "Sir, please consider. This is not at all appropriate. You're aristocratic, you're very wealthy and well-educated, and I'm none of those. Yes, I'm from a Brahmin family, but I'm very poor. I don't have a good education. And, you know, your family members will not accept this. Please consider, just like King Bhishmaka wanted to give his daughter in marriage to Krishna. But the elder son didn't want that to happen. So he had to then yield to the desire of his family and made the arrangement for his daughter, Rukmini, to marry who the eldest brother or his eldest son wanted. But by tricks, Rukmini sent message to Krishna, Krishna came, kidnapped Rukmini, big fight, and Rukmini was defeated. But even great king Bhishmaka had this consideration. So please consider. It's not just you, it's your family members. This isn't at all wise. And the elder Brahmin said, "No. She's my daughter. I'm giving her to you in charity. Who can stop me?" Your religious principles are at stake. If they object, what can you do? I will deal with them. This is my wish. Please accept her in charity. This is my desire. Well, to protect your religious principles, not like to force you to keep your word, but to protect your religious principles, let us go before the Gopal deity and you say the same thing to the Gopal deity, which he did. "I give to this young Brahmin my daughter in charity. Please bear witness." And the young Brahmin said, "Please note with great care, I may have to call upon you at a future time to bear witness what you have heard this Brahmin speak." So after some time, they returned back to Vidyanagar, and they both went to their separate residences. Some days passed, and the elder Brahmin was in some anxiety. "I made this promise, now I have to make good on the promise. How am I going to tell my family?" So he decided he would have like a gathering of various relatives and his wife and his son and tell them everything that happened. And as expected, strong resistance. "You can't do this. How can you give your daughter away in marriage without any discussion with us? This is terrible. Your status in the Brahminical community will be destroyed. And how can this man be a fit candidate for our daughter?" The wife said, "If you go through with this plan, I'll take poison and kill myself." The Well, I made my promise before the deity. So how can I break my promise? The son said, you don't have to break your promise, or you don't have to tell a direct lie. You can say that you just can't remember. You say you can't remember, I'll take care of everything else. So the very next day, after this family yishtagosti, the younger Brahmin came to visit the elder Brahmin, who was deep in thought, what to do, what to do, what to do. So some days had passed, and what is your intention? You're planning to keep your promise, or you're not planning to keep your promise? Well, I can't exactly remember. And as he was speaking to the younger Brahmin, the son saw the younger Brahmin and came running from the home with a stick in hand. Get out of here, you rascal. So the next day, the younger Brahmin came back with members of the village to mediate the dispute. You know, here we are in Orissa. But there's very nice narration of this in Amala Bhakti. He has in the background a rabble-rousing crowd saying, hey, what's going on? What's happening here? Hey, what's going on? You know, that constant sound vibration. Like crowds will go, hey, what's happening? Who's on which side? As soon as there's an argument, right? There's a big crowd of people. So the younger Brahmin spoke to the older Brahmin, you've made your promise, and now you're going against your promise. And this is going to be very, very damaging to your religious principles. So could you kindly explain? And the elder Brahmin said, well, I can't exactly remember making such a promise. At which the son of the elder Brahmin said, just see this deceitful, tricky, so-called Brahmin. Not only he wants to take my daughter, my sister, in marriage, but when my father was traveling, he had so much money with him that this Brahmin, just greedy to get his money, fed him poison, dutura, and stole all his money. And now he wants to steal my sister. Consider what kind of religious principle this is. People do that sometimes, to just make up a story to make somebody look bad. It goes on. So the younger Brahmin replied, just to win an argument, this man is lying. And then he told the whole story, exactly as it was. This elder Brahmin, feeling greatly indebted to the service that I was rendering, offered his daughter in charity. I said, my dear sir, I'm doing this as a matter of service to please Krishna. Not because I want something from you, but then he insisted, no, this is what I want. I want to give my daughter in charity. And I said that this is not going to be accepted by your family members. If you really intend to do this, then you take this vow before the Gopal deity. And then I spoke to the Gopal deity asking him to bear witness. If there is some problem with the family members, then you will have to come and bear witness. And then the son said, this is a very good proposal. Let Gopal come here and bear witness. And if he bears witness, we will accept. And the elder Brahmin was saying, this is a wonderful idea. In his mind, he was thinking, Gopal understands my predicament. He's the Supreme Lord and the protector of his devotee. Surely he will come. And the son was thinking, ha, stone coming from some distant place. How will this be possible? My sister is now safe from this poor Brahmin. So the younger Brahmin said, if everyone is in agreement, then let's put it down in writing. I mean, it says black and white. I don't know if they had such instruments at that time, but black and white on paper with signature, so you can't change your mind again. Settle it up. And so the dispute was mediated successfully, and now the young Brahmin is going to make his trip to Vrindavan. And he went straight to the Gopal deity, offered his obeisances, and spoke to the deity. Here's the Brahmin speaking, the younger Brahmin speaking after the first time around. My dear sir, speaking to the deity, you are very merciful and you know everything. Therefore, kindly be a witness in this case. A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities. Ooh. You catch that one? I'll read it again. So this is like, you know, not just for Gopal, it's for us. A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities. No, he's back in Vrindavan, second time around. Yeah, here. My dear Lord, you are the protector of Brahminical culture. And you are also very merciful. Therefore, kindly show your great mercy by protecting religious principles of us two Brahmins. My dear Lord, it is not that I am thinking to become happy by getting the daughter as a bride. I am simply thinking that the Brahmana has broken his promise, and that is giving me great pain. Prabhupada explains in the purport, it's not that the bare witness was so he could get the girl, or he's gone back now to... He wants to get the girl so he can be happy in material life. He's thinking the religious principles are at stake. And you're the Supreme Lord and you're the protector of your devotees, and it's only you that can protect the principles of this Brahmin. The younger Brahmin continued, my dear sir, you are very merciful and you know everything. Therefore, kindly be a witness in this case. A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities. Gopal replied, my dear Brahmin, go back to your home and call a meeting of all the men. In that meeting, just try to remember me. I shall certainly appear there, and at that time I shall protect the honor of both you Brahmanas by bearing witness to this promise. The younger Brahmin continued, my dear sir, even if you appear there as four-armed Vishnu, still none of these people will believe your words. Only if you go there in this form of Gopal and speak the words from your beautiful face will your testimony be heard by all the people. Gopal said, I've never heard of a deity's walking from one place to another. The Brahmana replied, that is true. But how is it that you are speaking to me? Although you are a deity. My dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now, for the sake of the old Brahman, you can do something you have never done before. Sri Gopalji then smiled and said, my dear Brahman, just listen to me. I shall walk behind you, and in this way, I shall go with you. The Lord continued, do not try to see me by turning around. As soon as you see me, I shall remain stationary in that very place. But you will know that I'm walking behind you by the sound of my ankle bells. Cook 1 kilo of rice each day, and I shall eat that rice and follow behind you. I don't know how he offered the rice without seeing the deity, but that's one part of this leela I just haven't figured out. But I'm sure there's some way he offered the rice without seeing it, something. The next day, the Brahmana begged permission from Gopal and started for his country. Gopal followed him step by step. While Gopal followed the young Brahmana, the tinkling sound of his ankle bells could be heard. The Brahmana became very pleased, and he cooked first-class rice for Gopal to eat. The younger Brahmana walked and walked in this way until he eventually arrived in his own country. When he neared his own village, he began to think as follows. I've now come to my village, and I shall go to my home and tell all the people that the witness has arrived. The Brahmana began to think that if the people don't directly see the Gopal deity, they would not believe that he had arrived. But even if Gopal stays here, he thought, there is still no fear. Thinking in this way, the Brahmana turned back. And he saw Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, standing there smiling. The Lord told the Brahmana, now you can go home. I shall stay here, and I shall not leave. The younger Brahmana then went to the town and informed all the people about Gopal's arrival. Hearing this, the people were struck with wonder. All the townspeople went to see the witness Gopal, and when they saw the Lord actually standing there, they all offered their obeisances. When the people arrived, they were very pleased to see the beauty of Gopal. And when they heard that he had actually walked there, they were all very surprised. Then the elder Brahmana, being very pleased, came forward and immediately fell like a stick before Gopal. Thus, in the presence of all the townspeople, Lord Gopal bore witness that the elderly Brahmana had offered his daughter in charity to the younger Brahmana. In the chapter summary at the beginning, Prabhupada is quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur's summary and says the deity actually spoke to all the townspeople. It is true. The elder Brahman gave in charity his daughter to the younger Brahman. And the marriage ceremony was performed. After the marriage ceremony, the Lord informed both Brahmanas, you two Brahmanas are my eternal servants. Birth after birth. Prabhupada explains, Nitya Siddha, Jivas. The Lord continued, I have become very much pleased by the truthfulness of you both. Although it sure seems like the elder Brahmana's truthfulness was seriously compromised. Now you can ask for benediction. Thus, with great pleasure, the two brahmanas begged for a benediction. The brahmanas said, please remain here so that people all over the world will know how merciful you are to your servants. Lord Gopal stayed, and the two brahmanas engaged in his service. After hearing of this incident, many people from different countries began to see Gopal. And eventually the king of that country heard this wonderful story, and he also came to see Gopal and thus became very satisfied. The king constructed a nice temple, and regular service was executed. Gopal became very famous by the name Sakshi Gopal, Witness Gopal. Thus, Sakshi Gopal stayed in Vidyanagara and accepted service for a very long time. Later, there was a fight, and this country was conquered by King Purushottam Dev of Orissa. The king was victorious over the king of Vidyanagara, and he took possession of his throne, the Manikya Simhasan, which was bedecked with many jewels. King Purushottam Dev, that's the father of Pratabrudra, was a great devotee and was advanced in the civilization of the Aryans. He begged at the lotus feet of Gopal, please come to my kingdom. His capital was in Cuttack. When the king begged him to come to his kingdom, Gopal, who was already obliged for his devotional service, accepted his prayer. Thus the king took the Gopal Didi and went back to Cuttack. After winning the Manikya throne, King Purushottam Dev took it to Jagannath Puri and presented it to Lord Jagannath. In the meantime, he established regular worship of Gopal deity in Cuttack. When the Gopal deity was installed in Cuttack, the queen of Purushottam Dev went to see him and with great devotion presented various kinds of ornaments. Remember this part of the story? The queen had a very valuable pearl which she wore on her nose, and she wished to give it to Gopal. And she began to think as follows. If there were a hole in the deity's nose, I could transfer the pearl to him. She just thought that in her mind. Considering this, the queen offered her obeisances to Gopal, and she returned to her palace. That night, she dreamed that Gopal appeared and began to speak to her as follows. During my childhood, my mother made a hole in my nose and with great endeavor set a pearl there. That very hole is still there, and you can use it to set the pearl you desired to give me. After dreaming this, the queen explained it to her husband, the king. Both the king and the queen then went to the temple with the pearl, seeing the hole in the nose of the deity. They were amazed. They set the pearl there, and being very pleased, held a grand festival. Since then, Gopal has been situated in the city of Cuttack, and he has been known ever since as Sakshi Gopal. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the narration of Gopal's activities from Lord Nityananda. Both he and his personal devotees became very pleased. Then they went to see the deity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting before the Gopal deity, all the devotees saw him and the deity as being of the same form. They were of the same complexion, and both had gigantic bodies. Both wore saffron cloth, and both were very grave. The devotees saw that both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gopal were brilliantly effulgent and had eyes like lotuses. They were both absorbed in ecstasy, and both their faces resembled full moons. When Lord Nityananda saw the Gopal deity and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way, he began to exchange remarks with the devotees, all of whom were smiling. Thus, with great pleasure, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed the night in the temple. After seeing the Mangal Arati ceremony in the morning, he continued on his journey. In his book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has very vividly described the places visited by the Lord on the way to Bhubaneswar. So that's the rest of the chapter. So tomorrow you'll, if you so desire, you'll be witnessing the witness Gopal, having his darshan. Premarva seems to have pretty good batting average. He can... Yeah, just carry the Radanga and just go marching in. It's a 3-hour journey. Huh? No? How long is it? 16 kilometers. Oh, it's not far. It's just practically around the corner. Yeah. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that one who hears this story can appreciate how merciful the Lord is upon his devotee. But of course, so much is dependent upon faith. Oh, here he is. Someone just went there? Or you bought it in a shop nearby? Yeah, Shakshi Gopal. He went there. Somebody went there. The Lord is very merciful to his devotee. Of course, proportionate to one's faith and surrender. Prabhupada's example is, the sun shines equally everywhere. But some stand under an umbrella or hide under a roof, so the sun doesn't penetrate. Or beneath a cloud, and the sun doesn't come fully. But the sun can come fully, depending if there's something blocking or not. And the something blocking, in the case of practicing devotees, that something blocking is unwanted obstacles, anarthas. Anartha is compared to clouds or mist that block the rays of the sun. But the sun is shining equally everywhere. So we need to position ourselves free from obstructions of our own impurities. Then the very merciful nature of the Lord will be directly experienced. Shakshi Gopal. So we have some amount of time for questions. This may be our last opportunity for this because the schedule tomorrow looks like it's pretty full. Yeah, there's something in the purport. There's two different. The reference here is the in the introduction to the chapter, Prabhupada comments that the Sakshi Gopal deity was brought by Jagannath deity, and there was some dispute between the Jagannath deity and the Sakshi Gopal deity. So the king had to intervene in the dispute. Doesn't give detail. And then the dispute was resolved that Sakshi Gopal would have his own altar and his own temple. So he was moved. So that's Katak is not 12 kilometers away, correct? So it's this other temple. So from Prataparudra's time or King Purushottama's time to the present time, at some point apparently the deity was placed by the side of Jagannath. Some dispute between Jagannath and Sakshi Gopal. Doesn't say. And the dispute was resolved this way. He got his own temple. There's something like that in relation to the Jagannath deity. They brought a Govardhan Shila to be placed at our Jagannath deity in Mayapur. And the Pujari had a dream that this Govardhan, he's so lusty. As soon as they bring the Bhog offering, he's smelling the offering. You have to bring a separate offering for him. He can't control his senses. So here's it's in the purport somewhere, so that's it says something like that. Okay. Whenever I feel problems and struggles in my life because of Krishna consciousness, I immediately decide to leave this process. Only thoughts come to go far away from that place. I'm also feeling like Krishna consciousness, unsafe because of so many anarthas and lack of determination. What to do? Well, problems and struggles don't come because of Krishna consciousness. Problems come and struggles come because of lack of Krishna consciousness. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, the only shortage and the only problem in this world is lack of Krishna consciousness. There is no shortage in this world except shortage of Krishna consciousness. So this is a matter of faith and association. because through association, faith is generated and it grows. The problems are not with the process of devotional service. The problems are not with the external environment. The problem is our own contamination. Generally, the problem is our own mind. There's a whole chapter in Krishna's talks with Uddhava that has that as its message. Real suffering is because of the mind. For the soul, there is no real suffering. Suffering is due to the mind. The problem is not with what's going on the spiritual platform. The problem is our attachment to the material platform, our lack of Krishna consciousness. So what to do is associate with those who are faithful devotees and become faithful. Learn the ways of devotional service through those that can then understand the ways of devotional service and can help guide you in the ways of devotional service. And try to learn from them. Don't just try to take from them. Try to grow in that association. The second question is how to become genuinely humble. It's actually quite simple, especially from the first part of the question. Our position is very tiny. And we recognize our position is very tiny. That's a good beginning for being humble. But moreover, look at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the pure devotees, and they're so great. Before them, we're... Ramananda Roy was saying about King Prataparudra, by being in the association of King Prataparudra, I can understand, I don't even know what devotion is. I don't know what attachment for you is. I don't know what love for you is. He has such love for you. So you're being in the presence of or hearing the glories of persons with such elevated qualities. That's how one becomes humble. Recognizing what real greatness is, and we don't have it. And then serve those great souls. That helps reinforce, support, and nurture the understanding of what humility is in a practical way. Something else? Is that a chart? Do it again from the beginning, because I'm not sure the premise of you ask questions in such a way, the premise is essential to get what the question is. Appreciation of devotees. Appreciation. Appreciation of devotees. Yes. There's some feelings that, what do those feelings say?
It's a hollow sort of thing.
Hollow.
Yeah. And one more thing, the rule of act as per realization. So is that because of realization, so not there, that is
Sadhachar is a professor, so he's like, you've got to be right on the point, otherwise, you know, he's not satisfied. So I've got to be really right to the point. Do you recall the discussion at Indradumna Sarovar, what Gopinath Acharya said about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? There's the before and after portrayal. The after portrayal was just one drop of your mercy entered into his Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's life, and it just continued to expand into a grand flood. And that flood, even one drop, is sufficient to inundate and completely engulf Mount Sumeru in the Himalayas, what to speak of these two little parvats. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, two little hills. So this drop of mercy comes not from the dry oil cakes approach. That's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was doing before, trying to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by what is his caste and what is his family and what was his sannyas initiation, and does he understand Vedanta Sutra and smarta regulations and all these other yardsticks. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, without receiving his mercy, even the personality of God is in your own home and you don't recognize him. But that day will come. So the transition is this, just one drop of mercy. So what's that one drop of mercy? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya opened his heart. So that's what appreciation is. Opening the heart. When there's appreciation, then there's the giving back feeling of gratitude. That's stirs transcendental feelings. And that transcendental feeling platform comes in the form of service. You render the service not just because the rule book says to do so, but because from the place of gratitude, I've received this mercy. Let me give. And then that's relationship. So there's I was using this phrase, appreciation. It's not dependent upon one's rational faculties. It's not eliminated because we have rational faculties, but it's certainly not dependent upon, it's not accessed by rational faculties. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the king. Most capable in that realm. So, it's kind of like change the channel or change the paradigm. Now, in the change of paradigm, it's not that the faculties that we now have, reason and logic and sense perception, they just are dismissed. But they're in the second position, falling behind this first one. I need mercy. That, want to restate your question again? You know, that's not exactly what you asked. It's a nice answer, but it's not what I asked. Go ahead. Huh? Okay, what's the part that's not? Take the dry cake and put in nectar. And even a drop is sufficient. Not like you have to soak in it overnight. Just a drop. No. It's a loving relationship. I want to choose the words carefully. It's relationship. Relationship means, Prabhupada's words, give and take, love and trust. Six words. That is Krishna consciousness. Give and take, love and trust. That is Krishna consciousness. If I say, I can't receive because that's selfish, you just eliminated relationship. You just eliminated love because it's a relationship. It's not one way. Give and take. You have a relationship with your wife. You have a relationship with a friend. Doesn't matter whether it's this, you know, peers or superior, subordinate. It's a relationship. There's give and take, and there's love. And so sometimes you're giving, sometimes you're receiving. You know, tadati pratiganati, guyam agyati prichchate, bhunkte bojayate chaiva, jadvidim priti lakshanam. Give and take. Based on? Love. Love is two-way. And trust is two-way. Love and trust, that's what it rests on. Sometimes. And when we look to the Haridas Thakurs and the, you know, as we've been doing here, we've been giving our attention to these personalities. I said it yesterday, you know, we have our mercy vessel, like beggars. Oh, Lord Nityananda. Oh, Haridas Thakur. Gadadhar Pandit. One after the next. One drop of your mercy. And they're very charitable. But it's not, you know, then we go home and, be, you know, we count how many drops we got. We give. It's not selfish. It's not mercenary. It's relationship. Loving relationship. Sometimes giving, sometimes receiving. We want to give. And the more we want to give, the more that the other person wants to give to us. It's just, that's love. And many persons don't know how to act in a loving relationship. They're just like, not just one or two individuals, the whole society of this crazy world. People, it's something they've never experienced, and then when they experience it, they don't know how to recognize it, and then when they recognize it, they don't know how to deal with it. You go back under a rock somewhere. What do I do? It goes on. All the time. All the time. But, so it's not just, it's relationship. Yes. As per realization. Well, we can only act, you know, whatever our position is. The phrase that I used yesterday or the day before when we were speaking, it's not, you know, according to one's realization, it's okay, I'm in this position. Another person is in this position. Another person's in this position. We can only act according to our position. We should be realistic about what our position is. The determining factor of relationship is not that you have a lesser position or greater position, and therefore your trajectory of spiritual life is way up here, so you're good. The one whose their trajectory has not been so advanced, they're not good. They're not so valuable. You know, they're expendable. You know, grow up a little bit, and then maybe we can talk. It's just, but one who is acting in that relationship, according to their, you know, a realistic, you know, self-honest assessment of their position. Now, very advanced devotees are thinking of themselves just the opposite. Not so advanced devotees are often thinking in a material way, either some, you know, false way in one extreme or the other. Oh, I'm very, and they're really thinking, you know, this is showing my advancement by saying, oh, I'm very insignificant. And others are trying to push themselves. So that's not acting according to one's realization or one's real position. So, you know, just dismiss all that and act from one's actual position. No pretense, just what one's position is. And act in that relationship. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Well, what Gopinath Patanayak wanted to do was to dismiss it. Mahaprabhu told him, no, don't dismiss it, but engage it in the proper consciousness. Likewise, Dhruva Maharaj received that kingdom that he wanted so much, although he had gone on the other side of now wanting it. The Lord said, no, you take it. But accept it in Krishna consciousness. So this is this Yukta Vairagya principle. Things may come because we desired them, or they may come not asked for, but there they are. And then we have to be in the presence or in the state of consciousness that all things are to be utilized in the Lord's service. And one to do that, one has to be very careful, because becoming attached and becoming proud is happens like drinking water. Everyday stuff. Pride and attachment. So how to address oneself in Krishna consciousness? Don't take credit, don't take controllership or sense of pride. I've accomplished something. Just there's some service opportunity being presented. And following that, there's another service opportunity. It can be challenging. Yes. Yeah. In your own life, you're unplugged. Oh, no. Go ahead. I can hear you anyway. Abhas depends upon consciousness, not upon the events. You want me to elaborate? Okay. Three persons are seated in a row chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Same mantra, same place, same time, and one is experiencing Nam Aparad, one is experiencing Nam Abhas, and the other is experiencing Shudhanam. So this, the activity is the same, the sound vibration is the same, but consciousness is different. But depending upon consciousness, similarly, something comes, and how do we see it? Like your husband was making the suggestion, oh, Krishna must be very pleased with me. He wants to reward me for all my sincere service. That's Abhas. That's the mood of what Gopinath Patanayak is saying is wealth, recognition, position. That's Abhas. So give me the real thing. Give me renunciation. Lord Chaitanya said, that's, you know, how you have to, your family members have to be maintained. The real consideration is unflinching attachment to the Lord. And then in that case, either as a renunciate or as one who's in contact with things of this world, one just sees different opportunities for service to Krishna. So one's position may be this or maybe that, just seeing the position of the opportunities for service to Krishna. And that's the real thing. That's the, not the Abhas, but the real thing. So now you're, so supposing you're in a Shuddha Bhakta position. Supposing you're Srila Prabhupada. And you come to America and nothing's happening. Then you wait a year and then all of a sudden everything starts to happen. It's not that before that wasn't Shuddha Bhakta and after it was, you know, Abhas Bhakta. The absence of things and the presence of things. Not the determination, it's the consciousness. But because of his Shuddha Bhakta consciousness, he endured staying in America with nothing. I mean, imagine. It's hard to imagine. A self-realized soul living in the Upper West Side didn't even have a bathroom. I mean, are we going to go somewhere where we don't even have a bathroom? Couldn't take a bath. Couldn't pass. Just had a, you know, like an office space. And he stayed there for months. I don't know the details of what he did to take back. He did something. But, you know, austerities. Living in a place with a crazy person. You know, an elderly, respectable, you know, gentleman. Living in a place with a you know, acid head wacko. Why? Because the order of a spiritual master, and that's what Krishna provided. And when his Bhagavad Gita manuscript and typewriter were stolen, Prabhupada said to the devotees, I can't do this anymore. So they got him a place with a bathroom and without a crazy person. First time. Anyway, so because of Shuddha Bhakti. And then when things would come, it wasn't, oh, now I'm getting the mercy. Okay? Something else? Yes? What are the inspirations? I've been like pumping that one up the whole time. Just like watching a man pumping air into his rickshaw today. He was and you're asking, what are the inspirations? My arms are tired. Just think of these great devotees. Before, I can say from my own experience being here, just meditating upon, reading about, hearing about, and speaking about these personalities. It's like, you know, a dim little decorative bulb is now, you know, 1,000 watt bulb. And you say, Gadadhar Pandit. Whoa! Siddhava Kool. It says, you know, Haridas Thakur. Right? Tota Gopinath, just, you know, the image is there. Radha, Lalita, and Gopinath sitting there smiling, literally sitting there smiling. Gambira. The loving exchanges with these incredible personalities. The hearing is the inspiration. Go back and hear again. It's all being recorded. Then hear again, and that's the inspiration. It's through sound vibration that's heard in a receptive manner. Inspiration comes. Take it home with you. Carry it in your heart. Once in Mayapur, Prabhupada gave a very simple explanation of how to carry spiritual impressions with you. He gave the example he was giving can be applied to other circumstances of life. He said, in the morning, you take darshan of the deity. And when you take darshan of the deity, you take mental impression. And during the course of the day, you refer back to that mental impression. You may not be before the deity, but you bring to mind that mental impression. Just like the young Brahmin when he heard the elder Brahman make this promise, he said, I then concentrated my mind. And then I spoke to Gopinath, or to Gopal. So it's like, dismiss other things and focus on this impression. An impression is going to be different for each one of us here. Our biographies are very different. Our spiritual trajectory is all different. But some impression is there, and according to, you know, the receptivity, certain impression. And then recall, you know, bring up that photo file, bring up that impression upon the heart. And in the right mood of devotion, it will grow, and it will inspire further activity in devotion. You know, the before and after, appreciating the appreciation, back to this word appreciation, the appreciation of these various personalities surely has grown. And with that appreciation comes, let me give something to them. With the feeling of appreciation and gratitude for their gift of Krishna consciousness to us. Service is a way to grow, expand inspiration. Then we're in a relationship. Then there's reciprocation in that relationship, and then things really start to happen. Mystical things start to happen. Yes, Priya? Okay, I hit somebody's button on that one. Go ahead. There's a motorcycle going by and it was buzzing right when your voice went down. Gopinath Patanayak was? When he was what? Anachanga? Yes, he was. It may start with that, but as you advance, just, it's very similar to the Gajendra Moksha Leela. Finished. So he then began offering his prayer. And his prayer was, my dear Lord, you're this, you're that, you're that. Please get this alligator off my leg. But he prayed with such sincere devotion, get this crocodile off my leg. It then moved into another phase. The other phase became spontaneous prayers. I know that you are the protector of your devotee. I know. Not like I hope. I know. That this circumstance, which is temporary, will pass. You are the protector of your devotee. So it moved into to that phase and then into the next phase. So I do not want to approach you for this. I want to, when we're on the other side of this, please keep me engaged in your service eternally. although it started mixed devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj saying mixed devotional service. And our, you know, you're saying mixed devotional service. Please get me out of this difficulty. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. And that's, so that's, we all know that's not our platform of teaching, but we may be on that platform. So back to Sadachar's question about, you know, what about acting from our own position of realization? Therefore, Prabhupada said, at the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we should very much want to go to Krishna. Because the higher position is, Krishna, you can do with me whatever you like. So it's a salvationist idea. Let me get out of this crazy place and all of its crazy problems. And the crazy problems, if you haven't noticed, they don't end. They never end. Just that's the nature of the place. Get out of this problem and there's another 10 waiting for you. So let me come to the real thing, the desire. But so that comes, that takes purification. That's what happened with Gopinath Patanayak. He realized. And so when the Abbas thing came, that's not the full mercy. And even then he didn't have an understanding what the full mercy was. It was, let me become renounced instead of attached. And that's not, that's liberation, not pure devotional service. So we're not there, we're here. So we approach the Supreme Lord, you know, please get the crocodile off my leg. Or whatever is your capacity for realization. I wish to go beyond that desire. I sure wish this crocodile would leave my leg, but I want to go beyond that kind of a desire. This would get me out of this dilemma. We're slow to learn, but generally, but that's devotional service, is to by continually hearing and associating and serving those who are free from that. By such association, one comes to that quality oneself. We're very fortunate. We're regularly hearing that teaching. There are many that are not at all ever in this lifetime hearing that teaching. And not only we're hearing that teaching, but we're hearing example after example, abundant example of loving exchanges, and the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who takes those certain devotees who are recipients of a drop of that mercy out of that position of attachment. The journey that we're on is filled with spiritual potencies. Just stay in the path. Stay in the path in good association. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's, that Kripa Siddha means they actually did no sadhana, it just kind of descended on them. Sadhana Siddha means they're doing sadhana, and they qualified themselves through that sadhana to receive mercy. Bhakti, Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotion, same thing. It's not our devotional practices per se. That is, that manifests Krishna consciousness in our life. Certainly, that doesn't mean, okay, I don't have to do sadhana bhakti. It means that it's not, neither, certainly not the mentality of doership. I do this, I do that, I do that, I do that, I do that. Pull the lever and down the chute comes, from the vending machine of Krishna consciousness comes Krishna bhakti. It's not a mechanical process, is the idea. Certainly those things are a must. It's sadhana bhakti. It's taught by Rupa Goswami. But his teaching is, it's the consciousness behind the activity. It's the invoking of Krishna's mercy. I want the mercy of Krishna. I want to please Krishna through service. There's sadhachar. There's relationship. I want the mercy of Krishna. And with my activity, I want to please him. That's our service. I want to demonstrate to Krishna, I want to please you. But what's my qualification? So it's that consciousness. Another way of saying the same thing in response to your question, the Damodar Leela with Mother Jasoda trying to bind Krishna, 2 inches too short, 2 inches too short. The 2 inches Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur indicates, it represents effort and mercy. So it's not that we make no effort. So we make effort because sadhana siddha. The example that Prabhupada gives is, one may receive an honorary degree, but don't count on that. Normally, one enrolls in a university, takes courses, takes exams, is awarded a degree. That's the sadhana. But there's still some, you know, mercy involved in it. And some cases, this kripa siddha means, just fell out of the sky. Elton John, the debauchee to the max, was just awarded an honorary degree from Oxford University. You know, for wiggling on stage. So that's the kripa siddha is just, it comes. Well, that's the internal. And then sadhana, generally, the connotation of sadhana is the external things. Rising early, taking a bath, the whole thing. Tilak, Mangal Arati, so on. Those are the activities of sadhana bhakti. So my statement was, it's not the activities alone that generates. That's kartaham iti manyate. That's the mentality of a fruitive worker. That is without devotion to God, without a sense of dependence upon God. I'm going to make my stairway to the kingdom of God by these activities. Yes. Yes. Where there is sectarian. Well, we certainly went to places that aren't where Gaudiya Vaishnavas are in charge, where other Vaishnavas are in charge, but not Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They don't. At least those places where they didn't allow us to enter. Not Gaudiya Vaishnavas in charge. But sectarian two things. One word is love, and another word is maturity versus immaturity. So, where there is love, there's natural attraction for the object of love and the mood of that love. Natural. And then the other is that in a like Prabhupada's example of a small plant or a young tree, you build a fence around it until that tree grows of strong stature. Then you don't need the fence anymore. And here we have many devotees who are quite young in their Krishna consciousness. So, not sectarian, it's just putting a little fence, because just like, you know, when we went to the Chamananda temple, the fellow was describing so many things that are God only knows. And so we're careful where we go and what we hear. But then now back to the other side, there's also love. We like to hear that which is going to nurture that natural attraction of love, that, you know, we're faithful to Prabhupada because we love him. and even amongst Gaudiya Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, one of my godbrothers went once to visit one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. It was Yasomati Nandana. You know Yaso? President of the Ahmedabad temple and the regional, whatever he is. He's the president of the ICC. He's a very amazing Vaishnava. So we went to visit one of Prabhupada's godbrothers in a nearby mutt. One of the godbrothers started speaking offensive about Prabhupada. Your Swamiji was so successful because during his younger days he was a very good businessman and he just used his business acumen to spread Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you know, no special credit. And Yaso blasted him. You are my senior, but how can you say this? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that only by being empowered directly by Krishna Shakti can one spread Krishna consciousness. Why are you bringing these material formulas? Even within Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we can hear things that are harmful, hurtful, painful. So that's not sectarian, it's protecting one's creeper. One goes here, goes there, hears this, hears that, your head's spinning. It's not nurturing Krishna consciousness, it's spinning your head in the name of being not sectarian. If you were Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta and you encountered Sakhi Bakhi doctrine down the street, or Rasa Basa, you know, kirtan, you'd know how to deal with it. We went to many such places that aren't, you know, but you know, we gave a little inoculation. So we don't just go anywhere. Because we want to very carefully not contract some disease and stay healthy and our spiritual progress. Lots of sharks. Just like that, you know, the fellow dressed in his burlap thing and came and paid his obeisances and then did his nonsense. You know, the place is filled with such people. So we don't want to offend any of them, but we don't want to associate with them so much either. They're Vaishnavas, we want to respect them. And depending upon the right relationship, we can associate more. Like this example of Indradumna Maharaj visiting with the pujaris at the Nrisimha temple. To try to associate with some other, so he's an advanced devotee, he can do that. I wouldn't recommend you go and do that. According to one's position of realization, one can act. At the Ranganath temple in Trivendrum, for years, they wouldn't allow any Westerners to come in. It took years and years and years of working on well, it was not just the pujaris, it was the king. So now it's, unless you're Hindus. But then they still have, if you're in an Indian body, you go through this door, and if you're an American body, you go through that door. What's that? You know what that is. Bodily conception of life. Not a spirit. So there are such people with such conceptions out there. Because they haven't had the opportunity to hear as we have had the opportunity to hear. So we don't want to have them make offense. And we don't want to be exposed to any old thing. I didn't tell the Kamalakanta Vishwas story. But that came up with Kamalakanta Vishwas. With Mukunda Das, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I never want to see him again. He should never come in my presence again. But he's your devotee. He's a Gaudiya Vaishnav. He's your devotee. He's my devotee. And he goes here and there and hears from anybody and everything. He says he's my devotee and he comes holding a stick behind his back, ready to bash me. Because that meaning, some persons who he hears from, they're impersonalists. And they're with their stick, they're hitting the personality of Godhead. I don't want to see him. It wasn't that he didn't want to see him. Immediately, he invited him to come back. But with the instruction, don't go here and there. You know this, Lila, yeah? It's not sectarian, it's just, are you going to have your daughter go running wherever she likes? In the name of, if you don't, you're sectarian? You're protecting her. Let some strange fellow off the street go walking down the street with her. You're not going to do that. You may be a good person, may not be a good person. You're not going to let that happen. You're a loving parent. You get to know the person before you let somebody go walking down the street with your daughter. Like that. Yes. No, I don't want a how-to question. Something else? Yes. Elevated devotees who? Yes. I'm not sure I understand the question. Do you understand her question? You know, this is a psychological term called disassociation. That's where the terminology is coming from. So disassociation means that one has lost the connection between self and the body. That's what disassociation means. And so in that disassociated state, in psychological terms, all kinds of imaginative, hallucinated stuff starts to happen. The answer is no. The answer is that these are coming from directly... Rupa Goswami describes the science. There's a science to it. It's from the platform of the soul. When the soul, the activation of the consciousness of the soul becomes more pronounced, then transformations of the mind and body, of the mind and body, start to happen involuntarily. And it's, you know, from Ayurveda they can describe it. And from spiritual science it can be described. But it's from the platform of the soul. For sure, such persons are no longer identifying with their body, but not in the same way that a disassociated individual, you know, has this like aberrant disconnect. Yeah. When we go to which places? Okay. Lost. Yes. While inside, while before the deity or in some special place, how to maintain proper consciousness? That's your question? Well, at the very beginning, the very first day, I don't know if you were here the first day, I expressed I'll just repeat the answer to your question. The way to get the fullest benefit from such a pilgrimage or going before a deity or going to a sacred place is humble and prayerful mood. So now back to the immediate prior question. This means try to address yourself from the platform of the soul, not the platform of the mind or the senses, from the platform of the soul. Before the Supreme Lord, that's humble. And prayerful is both the give and take. mercy, service. And that keeps one consciousness fixed. On the spiritual platform. Something that connects with this? Humble and prayerful. Prayerful. Prayer. Humble is, I said, what I said following that was humble means you're before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very tiny. Spiritual conception of humble. And then, not just frozen in suspended animation, but active, not passive, active in offering prayers. We find this consistently in the Bhagavatam. When someone comes before the Supreme Lord, they offer prayers. Prayers of glorification. Prayers of appeal. Prayers for service. Prayers for mercy. So keep the spiritual platform activated, and it will reduce all the other noise. Okay? Someone who has not asked a question yet would like to? You didn't ask a question yet? Okay, go ahead. Okay. Yeah. Well, our acharyas have given us, and so we follow that. And that's another reason to not go here and there, but we follow our acharyas. Yeah. Safe. Secure. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes. In describing the ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira, he said these states of ecstasies have never been seen before. They've never been heard of in the scriptures. And because of that, ordinary persons may just reject them. I don't. I'm simply repeating what I heard from Raghunath Das Goswami directly, and I believe in it completely. So that's the, and that's the method for hearing. I mean, that's the method for understanding. On that basis, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just hearing, I accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just a sannyasi, but the personality of Godhead. All the more reason. Why did you let him go? Because he's the personality of Godhead. You can't stop him. He's independent. It's another platform. Just immediately, another platform based upon hearing and disciplic succession. Without that, what is there? It's an ocean of speculation. I've been there. I don't want to go into the ocean of speculation again. No, thank you. Call me sectarian. I don't want to go into the ocean of speculation. It's miserable, and all the people there are miserable. It doesn't mean that there aren't sincere people in that ocean of speculation. They need to connect with disciplic succession.
your question? I couldn't follow. Serve those who? Be the servant of the servant. Okay. Oh. So when one tries to act on the platform of servant of the servant, is that unmotivated? Well, you have to answer that question. Are you doing because it's something that you know will be pleasing? Or are you doing because I want some recognition, or I want liberation, I'm just suffering out here, I can't take it anymore, let me out of here? Okay, but you have to answer that question. In other words, maybe not, depending from individual to individual, and even within an individual from time to time. What's important is the consciousness behind the activity. Same question as Vedanta Chaitanya was asking. Not the activity in itself. Is that clear? Kind of clear. There was one devotee that came to Puri that was acclaimed as a great devotee of Ramachandra. He was constantly chanting Ram's name, Ram, Ram, Ram. And he wanted to take the position of being the humble servant of one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. And when he came to Puri, almost everyone, except Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thought, oh, great devotee, great devotee, great devotee. Mahaprabhu had no interest in this person. He was serving the servant of Mahaprabhu. Right on, brother, as they say. That's an American expression. Mahaprabhu had no interest. Why? His heart was dirty. It was pretense. He had something else in his consciousness altogether. Totally disregarded him. So, it's not the activity. Doesn't mean, you know, we do anything. We follow proper achar. We live by theistic conduct. Where the jewel, the treasure, is the relationship of loving exchanges with Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his devotees. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.